This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. Hey, it's Monday, June 28th, approaching noon Eastern, and I have been able to, fortunately for all of us, put together a podcast here on somewhat short notice, but it's an exciting podcast. I know it'll appeal to many of you because I've gotten questions on this topic over the last three or four days, particularly late last week. So I thought, hey, if I got a chance to talk to David Garofalo, I'm going to take it. David Garofalo is CEO, president, and chairman of Gold Royalty Corp. And what we'll get into today is what is that company? But also, hey, what's the rationale between the acquisition of Ely Gold Royalty? And I recall first being turned on to Ely, probably turning on a lot of you to Ely when Brent Cook used to speak favorably about it a couple of years ago. So I saw those headlines last week too, and I thought, well, that's interesting. So here we are. Get a chance to hear straight from the horse's mouth, David. How's that? David Garofalo, again, CEO, president, and chairman of Gold Royalty Corp. David, thank you so much for your time.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me on.
And again, I mean, I know you're a busy guy. You've got a lot going on. I want to start with Gold Royalty Corp. That's not a company I've owned. I've owned Uranium Royalty Corp, which, I don't know, would it be safe to say that's kind of the same family of companies? Is that?
It is. Same founder, Amir Adnani. And Amir and I co-founded Gold Royalty Corp, which we IPO'd just this last March.
And Uranium Royalty Corp, this is like the only uranium thing I own. I've talked to Scott Melby a couple of times, and he obviously knows his stuff in the uranium market. I thought, okay, I got a couple thousand shares of that one. Tell everybody, before we get to the Ely news and the other good news that's come out, you mentioned Amir and how this company came, because I recall that at the time when he started, or I don't know if spun off's not the right word. I'll let you describe it. Tell me, how did Gold Royalty Corp come about?
Well, it's an interesting story because Amir had the vision to accumulate development stage assets in the gold business at the bottom of the cycle. And he bought about 12 different properties across the Americas, which collectively have 26 million ounces of gold resource and over 31 million ounces of gold equivalent resource. So that includes a significant amount of copper byproduct. Copper is a very hot market right now, particularly as the economy is decarbonizing. Copper is extremely important in that effort. And so that 31 million ounces, he had been inventorying over the last decade within his public company, Gold Mining. And he was looking for ways to daylight value in that portfolio. And one of the thoughts that he had, and he approached me on, was actually writing royalties on each of those dozen development stage assets and spinning it out into a separate royalty company and taking it public, which is what we did about 3 months ago. We took it public on the NYSE American at a $5 offer price. The stock has since increased in value by about 20%. And what we've done is accumulated a portfolio of 18 royalties, including the dozen that were written on the portfolio that Amir had accumulated within Gold Mining. And we're going about actually diversifying that business, adding to that portfolio, creating critical mass. And that's really what led to the Ely acquisition a week ago that we announced, which will actually increase our royalties from 18 to over 100 royalties, gold royalties, across the Americas.
What made then, because I remember I owned Ely, but I sold it back in, went back and looked before we started speaking. I sold it back in January. I think I bought it at 70 cents and sold it at 80 cents or something like that. And I'm sure I just was like, well, I got to sell something because I want to buy something else. And I needed to sell something. And so I did. It wasn't like a loss of faith in Ely. It was just, I needed some cash and I had a different idea. So what made, in your eyes, Ely such an attractive target?
Well, it's so complementary in a couple of respects, several respects, actually. One is we have a much more robust treasury. We raised $90 million US in our IPO in March. That was tripling of the objective that we sought to achieve when we IPO'd. The order book was so robust, we upsized the deal twice So triple nice. From the $30 million target to 90. So we have a robust treasury. And what Ely brings to the table is near-term cash flow. So all of our 18 royalties in the development stage, Ely has 4 in the production stage and another 8 that are near production. So it complements our development stage assets. So we have a significant mineral endowment in the assets we inherited from the spin-out from gold mining. And what Ely brings is near-term cash flow. And what we're also bringing to the table is the treasury that we can now, with our critical mass, with a much lower cost of capital, we're able to better compete for new royalty opportunities, mm-hmm. which frankly, Ely was struggling to compete in the market, just given their relatively small scale, in spite of the fact that they had a high quality portfolio. They found it was a crowded space. There have been a proliferation of new royalty companies created over the last couple of years. And we saw a lot more competition in the royalties that were put up for auction. So by putting ourselves together, by leveraging the significant treasury that we have within gold mining, we're able to better compete with a lower cost of capital for new royalty opportunities that come available.
And again, you mentioned on New York Stock Exchange, the symbol is GROY, GROY, Gold Royalty Corp. The market cap I saw was still just around 200 million US or so. Is that right?
Well, it's actually gone up to almost 250 million US because we've had a reasonably good stock performance since our IPO, almost up about 20%. And the Ely transaction effectively doubles our size. Ely is a similar scale company.
Yep.
So we've become much more relevant, much more liquid. We graduated to the GDXJ last week. And as a result, it doubling our size means a reweighting. It creates a bit of a virtuous cycle. You know, the bigger you get, the more the passive funds have to own you. And the bigger you get, the more the active funds have to look at you because they want to obviously stick fairly close to the index as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to make sure everybody heard that. I mean, you're now in the GDXJ, which adds... Well, obviously visibility, but also adds a certain level of credibility too, don't you think?
Yeah, and it added a couple of million shares of demand in the stock in the last couple of weeks, which helped hasten the increase in our share price. But, you know, we have critical mass. We have 18 royalties, but with Ely, we have over 100 royalties.
Yeah.
A significant number of them are cash flowing, so we've become self-sustaining. We have a very scalable business. Ely had a very small management team, only 2 full-time employees. We only have 4 full-time employees within Gold Royalty. So with those 6 people on a combined basis, we could run a business 10 times the size that we have right now. The royalty business is eminently scalable. That's what's exciting about it. So every dollar of revenue that we add in terms of new royalties goes entirely to the bottom line.
And that's important to understand because it's totally different from being an exploration company. Let's go there. I was going to ask you that anyway, but as an expert in this, David, explain for people that have never really understood. They might own a couple of mining shares because they heard of something, but what is the value? Where does a royalty or a streaming company even fit into a portfolio usually?
No, it's an excellent question. And if you're playing the gold space, and I think gold is an excellent asset class to be in, given the inflationary environment we find ourselves in, quantitative easing, low interest rates, gold is where you want to be to preserve your capital, particularly if you expect the general equity markets to correct, which inevitably they will, given where valuations are. So when you're playing the gold space, there's a few ways to play it. You can buy the physical. Which means you have to line up at a bank with your ID and you have to store your gold. And that's a very credible way to physically protect your assets, but can be quite cost intensive and labor intensive to do that. You can buy the ETF, which is physically backed by gold. That negates or at least helps through economies of scale reduce the storage costs associated with that. But of course, you don't get any expiration upside in owning an ETF or owning the physical gold. So a lot of people look at gold equities, the operating companies, and that provides you both the leverage to the gold price, leverage and profitability as the gold price goes up, and leverage to their expiration success. But in buying the gold equities, you're also exposed to political risk, operating cost risk, capital cost risk, and the inflation therein. So when I look at royalty companies, I think it's the best of all worlds because when you're buying a royalty company, royalty companies just take a percentage of the top line of the revenue, 1% to 2% typically, sometimes a bit more, either in physical gold or just taking a percentage of the revenue. But you have no exposure to the underlying operating or capital cost risk. We don't care about the margin of the mine. We're only getting a percentage of the revenue. And as a result, you're getting the best of all worlds, and you're getting a leverage to the exploration upside. So it's almost like owning an ETF or the physical gold, but with exploration upside, no operating cost exposure at all. It really is the best of all worlds. And that's why typically gold royalty companies get much higher multiples in the general equity markets than the operators do.
We need to get you to Franco Nevada level over the next few years.
Well, you know, that's an aspiration. There's no reason that this couldn't be a multi-billion dollar market cap company. And there's a number of ways to do that. We can obviously compete for individual royalties, and we will do that. Just watch the space. We've been very active looking at new royalty opportunities, and we are going to add to them. And you'll hear news from us in the coming weeks and months as we see the fruits of our labor over the last few months post our IPO. But the other way to do it is through M&A, like we're doing with Ely. So you can leapfrog your competition. And as I said, there's been a vast number of these royalty companies have been introduced into the space over the last couple of years, but they're well below $1 billion market cap. Some of them sub $100 million. They're struggling for relevance. They're struggling to raise capital at an effective cost. And so, you know, my intention is to pursue a roll-up strategy. And I think you're going to see consolidation among those smaller players so that they achieve critical mass, achieve relevance in the equity markets, drive down their cost of capital. That round of consolidation is inevitable. And we've positioned ourselves to participate and drive that because we have a management team that has been in the industry collectively for over 250 years. As operators and mine developers. So we're not financial engineers. I have over 30 years in the business. I've been involved in the development of 15 mines over my 30-year career, and I've operated countless more of those. And that's true of my board of management as well. We bring an operator's perspective to the royalty business, which is extremely important because we have a clear-eyed view of the underlying risk of the royalties we're buying, and we have access. Because we've been in the business for so long, we can talk to anybody in the business about any royalty opportunity as a result.
Well, it's important to go there. That was going to be another question of mine. One of the things, whether it's a mining company or an exploration company or a royalty company, one of my key metrics is always the team. Have they done this before? Have they been successful at it? Because, you know, if you've done it once, chances are you know how to do it. You can do it again. If you've never done it before, well, then, you know, that's a whole other story. So tell everybody who, you know, besides you and Amir, who, some of the other folks that are on your board are pretty compelling figures.
Yeah, for sure. I'll start with Ian Telfer. Telfer is the chair of our advisory board. Now, Ian was my chairman at Gold Corp, which I ran until we merged it with Newmont to create the world's biggest gold company by market cap and production. But Ian was the founder of Gold Corp, but more importantly, in my view, he was the founder of Wheaton Precious Metals, the second biggest royalty and streaming company in the world by market cap, $25 billion market cap company. That was spun out from Gold Corp about 15 years ago with a small collection of royalties on some of Gold Corp's underlying operations. A very similar model to what we pursued with Gold Royalty and being spun up by Gold Mining. So, of course, I'm going to leverage Ian's expertise. He's the grandfather of royalty and streaming. He invented the whole concept. So having him on our board is invaluable, both in terms of understanding how to create this type of vehicle, but also the access he affords us by being on our board. Yeah. Alan Hare. He was the chief executive officer of HUD Bay. It's a company I ran on the copper space for 6 years. He was my chief operating officer and then succeeded me as CEO. Alan is a prolific mine builder. He's a metallurgical engineer by training, 35 plus years in the business. And so he brings a lot of mine building and operating expertise to the table as well. Warren Gilman, Queens Road Capital. He runs Li Ka-shing's Natural Resource Fund out of Hong Kong. Ian and I have known Warren for over 30 years in his previous roles as an investment banker in the mining space, but he's a technical guy by background. And he's a cornerstone investor in our IPO. And it's very rare for him to actually serve on the boards of investee companies, because as you can imagine, within that portfolio, he has a broad array of investee companies, and he doesn't have the time necessarily to sit on these boards, but because of his relationship with me and Ian, he thought it was important and enjoyable to serve on this board, and he really believes in the investment model that we have. So those are some of the key people. And I mentioned Amir, who's been a true visionary both in uranium and gold space. He's on our board, and he remains our biggest shareholder right now at 48%. Post the merger with Ely, they'll be down to about 24%. Still a very meaningful shareholder in the company, a very supportive shareholder, and obviously helped create the vision for Gold Royalty and buys into what we're trying to do in terms of consolidating the space.
And kind of a de facto thumbs up from my buddy Eric, who was a big shareholder in Ely.
That's right. Eric Sprott is supportive of the merger. He's signed a formal support agreement. He's locked his shares up. He will be the second biggest shareholder on a pro forma basis of the new combined Gold Royalty Corp. So Eric, as you know, is a very astute investor in the natural resource space, particularly precious metals. And he's a big believer in the model that we're pursuing here at Gold Royalty.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. And about as smart of a guy as you're ever going to find on this.
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. So as we wrap up, Dave, let's just go back to the company from here. First of all, your properties, again, coming off of gold mining, have been primarily focused here in the Americas, you know, Central America, North America, South, even some South America. What does Ely, where's Ely, where are their main properties?
They're entirely in the Americas with a big, big focus in Nevada. Which is one of the most prolific gold districts, as you know, in the world.
Yeah. So that's obviously very complementary to what you're doing. Exactly. You've got a lot of cash and, you know, guys like Ian to kind of help open doors when it comes time to acquiring more. I would imagine that's all part of the plan going forward.
Yeah. No, listen, we will be prolific acquirers of royalties, individual royalties. We'll be looking at our competitors in the space to see if there's more scope for consolidation. We intend to grow quickly, and we intend to allocate capital expecting to get double-digit rates of return on any capital we allocate. That includes an M&A. We see the Ely transaction is extremely accretive to our shareholders, both in terms of underlying net asset value per share, but also it's immediately accretive on a cash flow per share basis.
All right, David, you got me. Like I said, I was in Ely. I'm out of Ely, but we're going to hang up here. I'm going to liquidate. I might even take a little of my Franco Nevada. That's like the core position that I have in my little IRA of mining shares. I'm going to spin a little of that off. And become a shareholder. So I just think the idea is great. And like I said, I love what you're doing. You got to have cash. You got to have an experienced team. You're now in the GDXJ. Everything else, I mean, it's all coming together. What have I missed? Anything else on your mind?
No, that's great. And really, we really appreciate the trust that our shareholders put into us and managing their capital for them, expecting to get strong rates of return. We're delighted with that trust. We're honored to have it. And we will do well by you as shareholders.
And David, GROY is the U.S. Symbol, trades on New York Stock Exchange.
Yes.
I got to tell you, a lot of times there's a Canadian symbol, and so I just assume that's how Canadians buy it. Do you know that process? Can Canadians buy?
Absolutely. I mean, we're a Canadian incorporated company. It doesn't matter where we're listed. So Canadians can very readily buy us on the NYC American.
Okay. So there you go. So open for everybody to take a position as it works. Hey, David, this is exciting stuff, man. I'm glad we got a chance to meet. I very much want to keep in touch because I can sure see where this is going. This is going to require regular updates. You got a lot of stuff. This is exciting.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time today.
Everybody, please check out Gold Royalty Corp, symbol GROY. I'll put the website on this page. I'll put the related headlines and stuff we talked about, this acquisition of Ely, the news getting added to the GDXJ, the investor presentation. As always, you do not just simply listen to some dope with a MacBook, that being me, and then make investment decisions. You got to do all your own due diligence. You got to think about your time horizons, your risk tolerance, all that kind of stuff. So do your own research, but check this out. Find out if royalty companies are right for your portfolio and find out from there if Gold Royalty Corp fits into it. Again, David Garofalo, CEO, President, and Chairman of Gold Royalty Corp. We will be certain to keep in touch. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll have another one of these special podcasts for you later on.